And we are thankful to see each one here. I want to turn to two different places in the Scripture. I want to begin in John chapter 3, but we're also going to look in 1 John chapter 5. If you want to kind of hold places in both of those Scriptures, it'll be good because we'll kind of turn back and forth just a little bit. We certainly, again, desire your prayers today. We certainly need the Lord's blessings to even help us sustain. Certainly, again, remember the prayer requests have been mentioned. Before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that we'd not take your blessings for granted. Father, help us also always to look to Christ. Father, not only for those that are lost, that they would see their need of salvation, but for those of us that are saved, that we'd remember where our hope is, where our comfort and trust is, that, Father, we could see your blessings and even be the light in this world that you've called us to be. Father, we pray that you would again bless in every way, continue to draw the lost to your Son, and help us as your people to walk close to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 3, I want to look in verse 33. John 3, verse 33, it says, "He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true." That's what it's saying about a person that's trusted in Christ. They have declared that God is true. That God's Word, His testimony, what He's given us in Christ is true. Now, if you turn over, as we mentioned in 1 John chapter 5, and you read in verse 10, 1 John 5, verse 10, it says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Now, there's a big difference between those two statements. One is saying that you're accounting that the record of God is true. That God and what He's given us in Christ and His testimony of Christ for salvation, that that's true. But if we don't believe Christ, what have we done? We called God a liar. We said, "No, I don't think I need Christ. I don't believe that that's necessary. I don't believe that He died for my sins. I don't believe He's my atonement." There's a big difference between those two, seeing that we're either testifying that God's Word is true, or we're calling God a liar. I tell you what, there's no wiggle room really left within those Scriptures. There's no saying, "Well, I like to believe somewhat of God, but not just everything that He said." No, it doesn't give that. It says either you're saying that His testimony is true in Christ, or you're calling God a liar. One of the two. And the question that I would present to us today is this: which one are you? There's a lot of people that like to kind of straddle the fence, so to speak, and say, "Well, I believe in God, and well, I believe this, and you know," but they don't believe in Christ. Well, the Bible teaches us that either we're going to believe in the truth and declare that God's Word is true, or we're going to call Him a liar. And what God's told us we need for salvation, which is Christ, we're saying we don't need. Now, we can try to be political, and we can try to twist things around, and we can try to, straddle the fence, as we said, and all these other things. You can do all that. But I promise you, by what you do in your life, you're either going to say God is true, or God is a liar. One of the two. And I encourage you to say that He's true, because I know that He's true. But I can't make you believe upon Christ. I can't force it. I know there's people that try to do all kinds of emotional things and try to go through all kinds of different scare tactics and all kinds of things to try to get people. But listen, this is an issue of the heart. I might could scare somebody into joining the church or being baptized or making some kind of profession with the mouth. But this is a heart issue. It's the things that I can't even see. And the truth is that the salvation of God is an issue of the heart. And in your heart, you have to decide for yourself whether you're going to believe that God is true or else God is a liar. You're going to decide one way or the other. And you really make that decision to begin with Christ. Are you going to trust Christ? You see that God gave His only begotten Son for your salvation. Do you see that without Christ, you will spend eternity separated from God in hell in the lake of fire? Do you see that? Do you believe it? And listen, I can't answer that question for you. I've answered it for myself. But I can't answer it for anybody else. And again, where I might could work up somebody joining a church, where I might could go through some emotional spill or some scare tactics to get somebody to make some kind of profession, that's not in the heart. And when we meet God, in the heart's what's going to matter, because it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And in your heart, what do you believe? Do you believe God is true, or have you declared Him a liar? And again, what we do with Christ determines that, because if we believe God is true, then the reality of hell, the reality of the consequences of our sins, should compel us to turn to Christ for our salvation. If we believe God's a liar, then we do nothing with it. And again, that's left to an individual. And I love how the Scripture brings it back to the individual in so many times. Even back further in John chapter 3, you look at it, and He goes through and makes a statement in verse 17. He said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." There's so many people who say, "Well, God's just here to condemn me." No, He's not. He's here to save you. He sent His Son into the world to die for your sins. He so loved you that He's already provided the way of salvation for you, for whosoever would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people think God's here to condemn them. He lets us know that we're condemned already. He follows that up and says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And listen, He carries it back to the individual. This is where you're at. Either you've believed upon Christ and you're not under condemnation, or you've not believed upon Christ. And your condemnation, He doesn't say, "Well, you know, you've done too many things bad." That's not the condemnation. And we have to recognize sin, and we talk about sin, we preach about sin, because part of the reason for the law is so that we see who we are, so we see our need of Christ. It's the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It's very important. But when you read this Scripture, you don't find God saying, "Well, it's because you got too many sins to get in." That's not what He says, is it? He says you're not saved because you've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what He tells us is, in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." A lot of times people have asked me a question, "Why aren't more people trusting in Christ?" Because we like things the way they are. And that's the reason we're living in sin, and we kind of enjoy it, and we don't want any different. To come to Christ is to get something totally different. It's to see ourselves as who we are and see what God has done for us through Christ. To come to Christ, you have to see that you need a Savior. You know, there's a lot of people that would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. We see a lot of that in the world, don't we? There's a lot of people that would rather believe a lie than believe the truth on many different situations. I've often made this statement: sometimes finding the truth is one of the hardest things you ever do in your life. Because this world is filled with lies. And people say, yeah. Democrats, liberals over here, they lie all the time. Listen, I could go through a list this morning if I wanted to on the conservative side and show you a pile of lies. Now, I could even go to, if you want to, I can go to a pile of lies that libertarians believe. I can go through a lot of different beliefs and I can show you a lot of lies, because a lot of people don't want to believe the truth. They have things set in their mind of what, the way that they want to see it, and they don't want to see the truth. Do you know, to come to Christ, we have to see ourselves as a sinner? Ooh, a lot of people don't want to do that. I'm good, I'm righteous, I'm holy. But the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so to come to the knowledge of the truth, we are testifying that Christ had to die because we had no means of saving ourselves. At our very best, we're filthy rags before God, and there was nothing we had to offer Him. That's not even the talk of most of the religion in the world, is it? The religion of the world is you can get to this nirvana state. You can get to a place where God will accept you. You can live a good and righteous life. No, you can't. Not in and of yourself, you can't. Might be righteous by the world's standards. It's not righteous by God's. I've got it written somewhere in my Bible. I don't know if I'll find my note real quick. I've got a note written in my Bible of all the laws that are written in the Old Testament because I can't remember them all. And I might not can find it. But I'll try to at least. Yeah, I've got it right here. 683 laws. That's the laws of the Old Testament. 683 of them. What happens if you break one of the least commandments according to Scripture? It says you're guilty of all. That doesn't make all sin equal, like some of the world likes to say. It makes it where all sin declares us guilty before God. That's what it does. Sometimes we think, I think the laws are just the Ten Commandments. No, there's 683 of them, not just 10. You ever gone back through and seen how many you're guilty of? I tell you what, if you ever study it, you're not going to like what you find. My goodness, if you'll just go through the Ten Commandments, you probably won't be happy by the time you get through the first three. You'll see that you're already guilty. You don't have to go through a whole lot to see guilty. I've broken the law. I'm guilty. You ever known anybody to keep all 683? We haven't even met anybody to keep all 10. To understand our need of Christ is very important. But it's also an understanding that God so loved us that He provided a way of salvation for us. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the testimony, the record that God gave of His Son. He is the Savior of the world. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just an apostle. He's not just the things that a lot of people like to call Him. He is the Savior of whosoever will believe. Have we accepted that truth? Have you accepted that truth? That Christ died for your sins? And that if you will turn and believe by faith that God will save you, not because of your righteousness, but because of His righteousness. That's the testimony that God has given. Let me go back to 1 John 5 and read a little bit more. We'll read verse 10 again, but I want to dig in. We'll pick up at verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness that which God hath testified of His Son. Notice what that statement is. This is the witness that God has put forth, not men. Sometimes we say, well, the preacher gave us this message. All I can do for you is share God's testimony. God's Word. And His Word is that He sent His Son for the perpetuation or substitute, the payment the atonement for our sins. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That record is that he died for our sins and was rose again for our justification. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Notice that statement. This is the record that God, not us, not something that we've done, not something we can offer to God, but something that God has given to us, that He's given us eternal life. And this life is in works. No, that's not what it says. It's in church membership. No, that's not what it says. It's in baptism. That's not what it says. It said this life is in His Son. It's in Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He follows that up in verse 12 with a very simple, plain statement that's not hard to be understood. I don't think we have to have a high education to understand this. I don't think that you even have to be that far along in life to understand this. I think you get to a certain age, probably. I've heard a few even before teenage years, but a lot of them in teenage years, and you get to the point that God makes this real to you of what His salvation is. It says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Again, that's not complicated. God has made it simple where we can understand it. He's made it as plain as day that I've given you a testimony of my Son. I've given you the record that He died and paid for your sins. He lived that sinless life. He was that perfect Lamb without spot and without blemish. He was slain before the foundation of the world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Again, He makes it very simple, plain, and it comes down to whether an individual in their own heart, of whether they say, "You know what, I believe that the record that God has given is true. I believe it with everything that's within me." That's the truth. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my atonement. I believe God. Or we say, "Well, I think I can get by some other way," which is to say, what God has testified is not true, making Him a liar, calling Him a liar, however you want to word it. Question we have for each one of us this morning is, have we believed God, or have we declared in our hearts that God's lied to us? Have we believed His record of Christ, and that's what our faith is in, or have we not put our faith in Christ? Listen, we can play political games. We can play, "Well, I believe this and I believe that. I go to church and, you know, I've got some beliefs about God. I think He's a good person." You can go through all that if you want to. But I tell you what, you've got to come down to the simple truth. Not whether you're a member of a church, not whether you've been baptized, not how church makes you feel, all these other things. Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed the record that God gave of His Son? That's what you got to come down to. Do you believe that what God has testified, that there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Do you believe that record? Are you trusting in something else, therefore declaring God a liar? What have you done? What are you trusting in? What are you believing upon? this morning, I pray that you see the simplicity of the gospel. There's a lot of people sometimes that say, well, the gospel's complicated, it's hard. No, it's not. Entire King James Bible, if you go through it, it's written on a sixth grade reading level. It's not hard. It's shorter than most novels. God didn't make this thing complicated. He said, I've got a gift for you. That's what the Word of God declares it. God's gift to man. He has provided Christ for our salvation. Do you believe that? Or do you not believe that? That's what He's given us. And that's not a question I can answer for you. A lot of people say, well, tell me the answer, preacher. Tell me this. Listen, all I can do is present what the Word of God says. That's all I can do. An individual in their own heart must decide whether they believe God or whether they're going to believe something different than what God gave. That's an individual choice. It's your choice. You can say, Mom and Daddy's always gone to church. Well, I was raised to believe in God. You can say all those things all the day long, but there's coming a time in your life where you have to make a decision. Do you believe the record that God gave of His Son? Do you? Not somebody else. You. And are you willing to trust in that promise through Christ for your eternal salvation? Are you willing to trust in works or something else? Will you believe the record that God gave of His Son? That's the question that lies before you as you face life and as you also will one day face death. Do you believe the record that God gave of His Son? This is the burden that God has given us this morning. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we invite you to come. We'll have a verse of a song.